Welcome, one and all, to episode 200 of Ladies with Gumption, titled
Stuck in a Time Loop with You.
Credits to Jessica for coming up with and singing that beautiful title. We are the Ladies with Gumption. We recap DCTV in a flash, and this time we are actually back to DCTV with the final season of The Flash. I'm Tatiana, and I'm here with
Jessica.
And May.
And you can find us at DCTV Gumption on Twitter, ladieswgumption @gmail.com if you want to leave us some nice, long, juicy feedback, ladieswgumption.tumblr.com if you want to ask us asks of whatever. And of course, you can find the actual podcast at Apple Podcasts, iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, and Patreon. For the reasonable price of $10 a month, I think, probably, you can listen to us talk about anything and everything, including the MCU, HBO Max shows, and popular Netflix series, such as, most likely, You. And that is, of course,
cheaper
Patreon.
Than Netflix.
And last
and we won't cut off your password sharing.
That's right. No password sharing problems. And yes, we will also do The Last of Us coming up. So, patreon.com/DCTVGumption. Now on to news, where, you know, we last left off, I think, before all the James Gunn DCU, I think now it's the DCU, plans were unveiled. So it's kicking off with, after the Flash, you know, Flashpoints DCEU into oblivion, we will kick back up with a new Superman movie. I think it's called, like, is it Superman Legacy, maybe? Mm-hmm. There's a legacy involved. As well as an Amanda Waller series that showcases that not everything is different. Some things will be the same. Namely, things that came from James Gunn. Exactly. Exactly.
Keeping all of my toys.
There will also be a Brave and the Bold movie that introduces Damian Wayne as, of course, Batman's son, but not Robert Pattinson Batman and not Ben Affleck Batman. He'll be a new Batman, somewhere in between their ages, I guess, who is raising his Robin child. Also a Supergirl movie, but it is unclear yet whether it will be Sasha Kaye or not. We do not know if it'll be the same Supergirl. And
I hope it is, because you know.
Yeah. That would suck balls to be cast for like one scene in The Flash and then then you don't get to your own movie. They are currently casting for Booster Gold, who will have a movie. And they're going to have a Green Lantern series, but not the Berlanti series. They were like, thank you, Berlanti. We don't need you anymore. We will now do our own Green Lantern series. That's going to be like a detective show.
Good for them, honestly, because I'm a little tired of Berlanti-verse.
And he's got a lot more stuff going on outside the superhero world anyway these days. So like,
he's like,
that's true. You know, he's got actually, plenty to do.
He's not a present father figure right now.
We've also got the Harley Quinn Valentine's Day special just came out on HBO Max, and we love to see it. Also in the animated world, Tyler James Williams and Quinta Brunson will be playing the Hawks, Hawkman and Hawkgirl.
Crossover.
Yes! In what? I don't know what. What is the thing that they're playing it in?
It is.
It's already happened. Okay, yeah. You could go watch them be awesome together, which I have not seen yet, clearly. I must watch this weekend. And The Flash confirms that Rick Cosnett, hopefully as Cobalt Blue, Matt Lesher, obviously as Reverse Flash, and Jessica Parker Kennedy, obviously as XS, will be back for the finale of The Flash, or the final season of The Flash, whichever. Still, you know, waiting to hear on whether or not Carlos Valdez and Impulse, or Bart, will get to be back, but
I feel like they're running out of filming time because they're on 11 exactly. Right now, right?
Yep, yeah.
I feel like Cisco has to at least return for the finale, because I would be very upset.
I would too. They better have at least a Zoom call with him. You know what I mean? Yes. Like, if Carlos does not feel like coming out there, can we please at least get his voice on there, get his face all pixelated? So, for the grand return of The Flash, episode 901, Wednesday Ever After, May will be taking us through the recap of the episode, the joys that we felt, the things we would throw out, what gave us no joy, feedback, and of course, our Lady with Gumption nomination for the week.
Yes, so we're starting with the only side A, but I would like to point out before we move forward is that this is our 200th episode, starting with the Flash Season 9 premiere, which is the final Flash Season 9 premiere ever, and I believe the 200th episode of The Flash will be its series finale. So I thought that was cool. Anyway. So Wednesday Ever After recap. It's been 7 days since the end of season 8, and Barry and Iris have just finished their staycation. Barry's been busy making a map book, a guide to his and Iris' future, to ensure that she remains safe after all that's happened with her time sickness and fallen and everything, because this woman has always collapsed in his arms multiple times, and we do not like to see it anymore. That means no more surprises and a sense of control over what happens. He tells her she's supposed to say yes to Cat Grant's offer to buy CCC Media, that she'll win 2 Pulitzers, and that she'll be pregnant with Nora in 3 months. Iris is, of course, less than enthusiastic about knowing all that's going to happen before it happens, because it feels like it removes her choice from the matter. So she avoids saying yes to Catco, and paired with some tachyon particle exposure from Captain Boomerang's machine, Iris and Barry wind up in a time loop, forced to relive the day over and over again until they finally realize they can only tackle the day together. And it puts them in a position of conflict briefly, because Barry realizes, thanks to Joe, that the future is not meant to be mapped out, and that the book doesn't tell him why things occurred the way they did or whether Iris is happy in her life. Taking that to heart, he burns the book, and they vow to face whatever comes their way together and live in the present moment. They defeat Captain Boomerang, and Barry gets to show off some new powers, like phasing an entire city through a nuclear explosion. Iris calls Sue, who will eventually become the richest woman in the world, who gives CCC Media a loan to buy Coast City Gazette, expanding her media empire in her own way. Barry and Iris also decide to have a baby moon now, to live in the present and enjoy their lives in a way they haven't fully been able to for the last few years, because the world always needs saving. Elsewhere in the episode, Allegra and Chester finally kiss, if you care about that. Kramer puts in a good
Everyone
word to
cares.
The mayor.
What are you talking about?
Kramer puts in a good word to the mayor for his promotion to CSI director at last. And Joe tells Cecile he wants to leave Central City, which is shocking to her. And then Caitlin and Frost are also both dead for good, it seems, and have been replaced by a woman with terrible blue clipping streaks in her hair, whose name we do not know yet. And then finally, Captain Boomerang is revealed to be working with Red Death, who seemingly wants Barry to be well and truly alone. And Red Death is one of 2 villains this season. So we kick off with a fun episode and some, you know, teases for what's to come. What sparked joy?
Well, I really enjoy that the episode was a Barry and Iris story, and that it was a story that they had to tackle together in order to complete the mission or whatever. I think time loop stories are always kind of fun. I think because, you know, there's like a tweet that said which Arrowverse show did time loop the best. And the only one that I can remember outside of the one we just watched is Legends with Zari. And that one had like a really big impression on me. So I think that the thing about time loops that are really fun is like when the characters get into the rhythm of the time loop and they're just kind of like, you know, over it. And then you start to see all these kind of like things of them being exasperated until they finally figure out why they're in the time loop that they're in is pretty cool. And I think one of the funniest parts of the episode was the montage of Barry failing to stop the particle accelerator and then waking up in bed and just like screaming until like finally Iris like whacks him with the pillow. Hilarious. I also like that there was a lot more domesticity because that's one of the things that we've been begging to see more of for a couple of years. And they jam-packed it all into the premiere. So getting to see the bedroom again, getting to see, you know, that even though Barry's a great cook, maybe he's a little messy with his socks on the dresser. Absolutely love seeing Iris go into bed in like her bonnet and getting to see that kind of snippet of realism in the life of being married to a Black woman, that we do put up our hair in bonnets and all that kind of stuff. So them being able to show that on TV. I liked in the end when they do decide to work together, I think it was like a really good friction or conversation between the two of them. Barry being like overly zealous about mapping out the future and knowing everything and kind of going, you know, last season he didn't seem to care at all. So this season it went into the opposite direction of him caring a little bit too much, being a little bit too protective. And mapping out everything. to them having like a conversation about it and promising like whatever happens, we're going to work through it together. I think Barry's introduction of like some new stuff that he can do, like when he like snapped and, you know, the little spark lit the book on fire. I feel like that's something that is an evolution of something that we haven't seen before. Because like, I think last season when he destroyed Caitlin's apartment, that was like a big burst of energy. And this was like a very like little casual. So it's kind of like, he's like very much more at home with all the different facets of his powers, which is great. The kiss was amazing. That was really good, nice, juicy kiss. Not like a peck on the cheek, but like a really intimate kind of moment. So that was nice to see. Love Barry shadowing Iris at CCC Media, seeing, you know, her in her element and, you know, supporting her, and then turn around, she's supporting him with Dick Kramer. I thought Boomerang was a fun kind of addition to the show, and that he's working with Red Death. I think that'll be interesting to see the how and the why of them working together and what he plans to get out of it. Also like the cute little downtime scenes of when they do get their stuff together and they are rocking through the episode. And there's like, I think we have like a lot more time. Like, whatever are we going to do with all of our time, Mr. Allen? And that I thought was leading somewhere else, but it's okay. If you want to go swimming, that's fine.
The swimming, it's okay. They definitely had sex before they went swimming. I feel like they definitely did.
Had sex and then they went swimming. But that little interaction, just like Grant and Candace chemistry again coming through, is really, really cute. With Liam Barry trying to impress her with his cannonball splash and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, it was a very pleasant, nice, light way to open the final season of the show.
I agree. I very much liked how they utilized the time loop, which is something that I feel like everyone has done multiple times, and The Flash has done multiple times, but this time it was just like a fun and fresh way of doing it and getting to see how Barry and Iris handled it separately versus how they handle it together, plus the different ways that Iris grew just more like done with the time loop. Listen, I'm just gonna drink this morning. This is clearly, I don't even need to go into the office. Like, there's no problem here. I enjoyed that. I think that if I were stuck on a time loop, I would definitely use it to try to like go through like the top 100 movies of all time list, you know, and make sure I've seen them all finally. That would be a great use of my time, or lack of time, my stop time. But anyway, so I understand Iris. That being said, it was really nice to see the natural chemistry between Grant and Candace in a way that we have definitely not gotten to in recent years, with like domestic / intimate moments between them, seeing what that marriage really is like, and even hearing, you know, Iris kind of like nagging at Barry for like leaving his socks out, you know. And yeah, so I really enjoyed that. And I also liked the way that they kind of like dropped in things, like obviously using Cat Grant as being potential for buying CCC Media. Shout out to Kara. shout out to Sue, even though I'm not sure why she couldn't have just been there, because I would have loved to have seen that. But hopefully that means that we will.
She's coming see her.
Yeah, exactly. In future episodes. So either way, it was like a nice use of the I don't know, personal life side of their world, I guess, without having to like be like, and now we're dropping in a superhero for a crossover. So like, whatever. Aside from the Barry and Iris storyline, which I'm like, I think I liked pretty much everything about that storyline. What else did I like? I do think that this Captain Boomerang is fun. Like, I like Richard Harmon as an actor. And so it was kind of funny to see him, like, all of his bravado, and then how Barry reacts to him, like, the first time that he meets him, versus later times you're like, yeah, I know, you're here to, you know, do this and that. Also thought that the introduction to Red Death was fun, and the, like, using a voice changer like Batman has done, I guess, that's cool. So if you didn't know it was Trevisa Leslie, you would not know that is Trevisa Leslie. So that will be an interesting reveal later on, and learning why Red Death is out to get the Flash. Like, I did think that the scene of Barry, like, getting the promotion, and then the next time around where he was about to, like he was going to lose it because he was being a weirdo, was funny. So, and that he needs Iris to come and be like, no, I vouch for him. I will be babysitting him to make sure he does the job that he hasn't been doing in 6 years. But don't worry, he's going to do it this time. was also quite funny. So, yeah, overall, a very fun start, I think, to the season. It brought back, like, more of the, I don't know, the personal touch, if you will. Like, it feels like things have gotten really rote in recent seasons of The Flash, or it just feels like people are just there to get the paycheck and go home, because no one's really feeling the storylines. And this time, with a more, I think, scaled back story, and not, like, a bunch of, like silly twists that, like, no one even cared about because they didn't care about the characters in the first place, makes for a better episode. So, good job on 1/13th of the final season.
Yes, I completely agree. It was just nice to have fun again with the show, like to watch something. And this episode is very rewatchable too. Like, it's not an episode you watch and you're just like, I'm not touching that ever again. It has a lot of great moments. It really balances work life. Like, it's nice to have seen Barry and Iris at their jobs and like what they're going to be doing next and interacting with characters outside of Star Labs. And it was just very refreshing, and I feel like we have been so starved for all the things we got this episode that you really wonder like why we didn't get it to begin with. But that is a different complaint. I love the time loop stuff. I love time loops in general. And I love television because it can do time loop episodes, and it gets just really creative in terms of like setting up the conflict between Barry and Iris. And it's great because it wasn't like a conflict with the villain. It was just like a personal thing about how they were both seeing the same issue. Like, they both clearly wanted a future together, but they didn't. Like, Iris didn't want to have that chosen for her. And I feel like she's sort of been stuck for the last several seasons in terms of like what is destiny and what is her choice in it. I feel like that's a recurring theme, whereas Barry's just like, no, we need to just follow this and do that. And it'll all be fine. And it kind of takes the joy out of life, the happy and sad surprises that kind of come up. So I feel like the show tackled both of their fears and like what their personal nightmares would be. And then having them handle it all together was really great. The whole episode was just filled with like small things that brought me joy, like the drunk Iris scene was hilarious, and just the screaming in bed, or the little personal touches that the Grant and Candace brought to their characters, and just like the intimacy of it all. Like, was very cute, it was very domestic, but then like the kiss was really hot, and like just seeing them be in so many scenes together was so great. Again, we've been missing that for a long time. And it really helps boost the show. It was like brought back the heart of the show. And it also shows that like you can actually have domestic conflict and it be a whole part of an episode without having to make a big deal out of like what's next for the villain and have it be that kind of drama. And this is like the stuff that people have been clamoring to see. So I'm really glad that they're finally doing it. And you can tell that like the actors are having good time with the material too, and that really helps us as viewers like enjoy the episode because of that, because it's like solid writing, solid acting all around. So all of it was beautiful. I rewatched it twice. Captain Boomerang, I also liked. I feel like we haven't really had a villain in a while where it was just like a fun villain and a memorable villain. It's kind of just been like plot disaster, whatever. So it was really nice for like the scene between Flash and Captain Boomerang kind of having like a back and forth with each other before we reveal that he's actually working for someone else. So it's like, even the setup of Red Death is exciting because it's like, I don't really know where this is going to go. So I feel like it was just a really great light episode that actually focused on Barry and Iris's issues and allowed them to like handle it together moving forward as a team. Cause we really just, again, haven't seen them together for so long like this, and it's just a nice way to start the season and a nice way to remind us that like they are a married couple, they do work better as a team, and they are fantastic when they do those things because it just makes them stronger and also has like a fun, great energy. What did not spark joy?
You know what? Before I say that, a couple of directorial things that I liked. I liked in the fireplace scene that you get the angle from like inside the fireplace. I thought that was like a cool shot from when like Barry like lit the book on fire and then you see like the shot through the fireplace of them. Like that was really great. And I also thought the, you know, Barry dancing around the boomerangs. So I thought that was a cool shot. And also, is it me or does like Captain Boomerang, the actor, I guess Richard Harmon is his name, does he remind you of the Jesse Pinkman from Breaking Bad?
Oh, I can see that. Yeah, yeah.
I just had that thought. I was like, yes, he reminds me of.
Yeah. But speaking of the directing too, I guess adding in is that this episode was so well lit. It was just so bright and beautiful and everything just looked nice, you know? Like, clearly, the finance department was like, here, you can have some money.
It's kind of like a dream, and then the lighting had this, like, really, like, light, dreamy kind of atmosphere, too. Yeah, I agree with that. Things that did not spark joy. This really doesn't have anything to do with the episode, per se, but I thought it was very interesting. Because I was like, I'm the last one of the three of us to actually get to watch the episode because I was out on assignment all week for work and could not be able to like watch it live. I didn't have like a screen or anything. I wasn't the one with the screener. So I was just going off of journalists that did have it. And then, you know, the ask that we answered about like the screener and comparing the two like online, you're like, oh my God, Bustown was so hot in this episode. There's no clothes in some scenes, and it's just really hot. Y'all are gonna love it. And then I look at the ask that we answered, and it's like, you know what? It was a very pleasant experience. It was like, it wasn't as like hot as like 3 or 4, but it was definitely more West Island than I've gotten in a while. So I was like, that's interesting. That's interesting that there's that seemingly that much of a disparity between like what we're saying and you know, the mass hysteria pandemonium that's going on online. I think it was such to the fact that someone even followed up with an ask like, are you saying it's going to be bone dry like 5 and 6? And I was like, okay, let's not be like dramatic. that hot doesn't mean it's that dry. And then, so like watching it, I definitely feel, I agree with us because I do feel like it was very pleasant and there were a lot of moments in it where you feel like Grant and Candace's chemistry and all that, but it felt like a more mature, it wasn't like hot and heavy like 3 and 4, but it's very sweet, like you would expect like a married couple to be. So I do think that some journalists were paid some extra dollars to make sure that fans return to season 9. And start off strong. I feel like Eric always starts off strong with a West Ellen episode because he's atoning for all his sins from the season before.
He has no next season to atone, so let's hope that he just gets it all out.
That's true. He has to cram it all in this season. So I thought that was really interesting. I do think if I think more on some of the plot devices in the episode, I think it starts to fall apart. I do think that, because even Eric admitted the whole ending with Barry like diffusing the explosion throughout the city and that having zero repercussions on anybody that was in the blast radius, he was like, that was a huge MacGuffin. So he was like, he was admitting that it makes no sense where we're gonna go with it. But I also feel like, and I don't know if I'm just remembering time loops wrong or whatever, but like the way that we get into the time loop is pretty like practical in the sense that Barry had that reaction with the reactor and all those particles came off. So, but usually with like time loops, I feel like it's a personal thing. Like the person is like stuck in the time loop. The person gets themselves into the time loop and then they're stuck there until they can figure out why they're there. But with it being such like a practical reason, it was like, should they have been so lackadaisical about how many loops they have? Because I would assume that if it's the particle dust that was on there, then that particle dust has to like run. There's like, it's a finite amount of particle dust. So shouldn't it be like a finite amount of loops? So, I mean, like, the whole thing about it being, like, Iris keeping them in the loop, I really liked that, because that was one of the things I thought, you know, instead of it being Barry, because that's, like, the most obvious kind of right. choice, that it would be much more interesting if Iris was the one that was keeping them there. But it kind of threw me off that the reason that they got stuck into it was, like, a legit practical reason and not, like, a tiny, whiny, you know, I have so much power, I will stop time myself kind of thing. So that's just kind of like a nitpick, I guess. The other storylines that were in here, Cecile, I feel like, maybe it's ages, but I just feel like she's not. I just feel like that wouldn't be a character in the show that I would focus on. You know, I don't know. I don't believe her as, like, a meta. I don't think I've ever believed her as a meta. And it's probably, I don't know, I just feel like she's not playing in the lane that she should be playing in. And, like, how, like, all the other characters are hyping up. Like, you are the strongest meta ever. And I just don't know where they're going.
With what Barry can currently do, I don't really buy that.
I don't buy that either. I don't know. It just feels like it's trying too hard to fit a square peg in a round hole. It's not like she's like one of the Wells characters, because I feel like Tom Cavanaugh's Harry Wells was an older guy on the team, but in a role that made sense. Like, he wasn't trying to be Kayla Allegra or Chester or Barry. Like, he wasn't trying to be there. Joe is the same way, that Joe's like an older person on the team, but he's not trying to be with, like, the younger kids. And I feel like they never really figured out what skill Cecile is supposed to do on this team. Also thought it's a minor annoyance in the beginning of the episode when Barry's dream, literally, even the dead person is, he imagines his team flash. They go through literally every person, and then Iris comes in, like, after the fact. Like, she's not on the team. She's not on Team Flash, but she still has to die. Because why else is Barry here? I was a little bit annoyed that even Joe had, like, a gun to, like, point and be like, yeah, I'm on the team. But Iris did not. So that was low-key annoying. What else? Oh, and then, I don't know. Those blue clip-ins are horrible. I don't know. And she doesn't look different. She looks like Danielle Panabaker with blue clip-ins. She doesn't look, you know, visually different from Caitlyn like I think she should. Like, Frost looks visually different because she's, like, paler, the hair. She looks different. Looks like a different person. This, whoever this is, does not look like anything. Her voice doesn't look like anything. There's no change in her voice pattern or anything to tell me that she's a different character other than her saying, I'm not the same character. So, who knows?
Yeah. I do think she tried to strike a gentler tone, like, you know, sort of matronly in a way, but
she doesn't look
right. Well, I agree with that. Yeah.
Like, how matronly she looks or not, but she doesn't look, especially with, like, the blue. I get what you're saying about the gentler tone, but I don't think that
it doesn't match, like, her aesthetic for sure.
Yeah. So there.
Okay, so for me, yes, we can just start with the Caitlyn scene was so random and out of context. And also, like, where was Marky Mark, whatever the hell his name is, Matt, Mark, Mike, Chilblain.
I think Mark.
It is Mark? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So, like we last left off him being like, who are you? And then I guess he was like, okay, I figured out who you are. I will go now. So when Barry shows up and he doesn't tell anything to Barry and the team, and it's been at least a week, right. It's been like 2 weeks. Like, what? Right. Like, how did this happen? Anyway. So that was, like, really weird. And then I don't know where they thought she was for it to have been that long. Like, she was still in mourning. I don't know. Whatever. Anyway, it just seemed like it was, like, super random that they wouldn't have already known what was going on for them to show up and be like, oh, this blue-haired girl has texted me from Caitlyn's phone. And then she's just, like, I don't know what her, like, role is, or there's no indication from who we met of what character she is. Like, is she Crystal Frost? Is she Louise Lincoln? Is she just some other new random character? And, like, it's not, like, exciting. Like, you don't want to find out.
And if how
you
many are, people are inside this girl? Like, how many personalities?
Yes. That too. And then also just, like, it's, like, if you are a Caitlyn fan, you have been waiting since, like, season 3 for Caitlyn to have a storyline that's actually about her. Well, actually, you've been waiting forever for Caitlyn to have a storyline that's not about a man. And then when she stopped having storylines about men, she started having storylines about people inside of her. So she has never had a storyline that's about Caitlyn, except for maybe, like, meeting her dad. Like, I guess it's kind of about her, even though it was really about Frost. So like, why would we want but you know what I mean, Caitlyn fans, want for the final season a storyline about a totally new invention inside of Caitlyn? Just seems dumb. And then I think...
And there's not even any kind of, like, indication, because they're not talking about this new storyline, I guess, until we figure out who it is. But if this is the last season, and I don't even get my character, I get this other random person that we have no background on, and there's no indication that I would get Caitlyn back?
Mm-hmm.
I'd be a little bit annoyed.
Yep. I too would be annoyed. So I think that was, like, and then just also, like, she's just, like, Zen Caitlyn. Like, there's not really anything exciting about that character based on what was provided. So I'm not sure how that was supposed to be, like, an interesting tease. Certainly, like, the teases for Frost in the past have been more interesting. So that's a downgrade. Also, thankfully, we did not have that much time spent on Cecile. Bless, thank goodness. But leading up to Joe's departure is just so super weird. Like, Cecile spends all episode honing her skills, her new powers. Powers I don't care about. But, and then, like, the, like, resolution to that is him being like, well, now that I've watched you do that all episode, I have decided we should move. Like, what? Because, you know, my kids are just, like, living life of danger constantly, and I just feel like my last unseen kid that we don't know about, how is she doing? Should live somewhere else, I guess, maybe. And you should use your powers to heat burgers instead. I don't know. I don't know what he wants. It seems really weird. And it doesn't feel like it came naturally out of what occurred in the episode. Like, he was like, oh, you guys were in a time loop? I guess we should move. So, like, okay. And also, bad things happen everywhere, Joe. It's not like bad things are happening in Central City because of the Flash. So... okay.
Crisis affected the whole world. Like,
yeah, exactly. Like, whatever. I don't know. It seems like a really, like, lukewarm way to sort of, like, ease Joe out for the final season. He's already spent several seasons, like, just not showing up sometimes. So I feel like we could probably just get away with continuing to do that. But okay, sure. Let's give him a real exit. It also just feels super similar to the Carlos, the Cisco exit, right? Yeah. He's like, oh, you got a job. I got a job. I guess we should just go somewhere else. Bye. Like, okay, cool. It's not very exciting. Anyway. So, what else? Is there anything else that really bothered me? Chilegra is not a negative, it's not a positive, it's just there. It's fine. I have no issue with Chilegra.
That's a long kiss, though. Like, even for this girl, that was, like, dramatic.
Yeah, and then they would be like, oh no, I can't believe we did that. Let's, like, go back to our... Like, you guys get over it. You guys have done this, like, 4 times now. Let's find... We don't care.
You know what I will say?
Uh-huh.
Like, I think, like, Eric previewed this time loop, because, like, he's like, time loops are usually, like, really dramatic, and you're anxious trying to stop someone from dying and blah, 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 blah. And he wanted to have this one be more of a fun one. But we started off at the end of their fun. Like, they finished the staycation. Like, I wish we had more of the fun stuff in the beginning. And then it's like, oh, wait. This is too much fun. Like, can we get back to the real world?
Yeah. That's true. That is actually true. Like, if they, like, it did seem like they went, like, I totally get Iris's frustration with Barry and with, like, not having agency, because, like, literally the whole show, agency being taken from her has been an issue. So I like that it was addressed and, like, that she confronted that. But it did feel kind of like, at first I was like, why are we so unhappy? What's happening? Are we getting a divorce? Why is this so dramatic? And again, I also understand why Barry was feeling as, like, protective as he was, but it did feel like a huge leap from the last season when it was kind of like, oh, well, if Iris shows up, she shows up, and if she doesn't, she doesn't. So, yeah, I guess it, like, was a little unnatural, even though once they went into it, I was fine with it. So, anyway. I did really like the confrontation scene between them, though. I thought Grant and Candace did a really great job, and that part like was well written. Okay. Any other characters that I disliked or that I was not caring about? No, I think that's pretty much it. I think that we are good. Overall, it was a good episode, but the side plots, which thankfully didn't take up too much time, were not up to par with the main story.
Yes, I agree about that. I think I don't feel too negatively about Tilligra, but I will say that when the kiss did happen, it was sort of awkward because I think we had just come off of like the West Allen kiss too. And I'm just like, oh, you guys, I'm just, that's just not good. It was just like a little bit awkward to watch. I've never felt they had that much chemistry together. It was very much like very friendly with each other, but it just didn't give off like fire, you know? So, I don't care about the ship in general, but I just thought the way that the kiss happened was just like, I was like, okay, but this is, yeah, going on for too long and it's kind of a little bit awkward to watch, but I'm glad that it happened so that we could just finally move on. With Cecile, I mean, I like that she wasn't like all up in people's business this episode, but I do feel like she's still, just the way that she's written and the dialogue that she's given is constantly still giving us things we already know, like based on actress performance, we know that they might be feeling some trepidation or something like that, but like she always announces it.
I hate that little
continued source of frustration. Yeah, I was like, we don't need this. We don't need to be spoon-fed what the other person's gonna be feeling because they're gonna tell you what they're feeling, you know, in a second. And it makes her, I don't know, like, and this is like maybe a personal thing, but like the expression that she gets on her face is just very like annoying because it looks like she knows all and it's irritating to watch. And her line delivery this episode, I feel like I'm just harping on her, but the her line delivery with the Groundhog Day thing, just, I don't know what it was about that moment. I was just like, the way that she said it didn't sound like how it should have been said. Everybody just kind of moved on from it quickly, and then
where I think like she missed like a football pass, she's like, oh boy, and it was like the face and the it was
It's just like doing too much, and when everyone in this, you know, episode specifically was just like firing on all cylinders, it really showed that she was not up to par with the rest of the actors. And I feel like the whole Caitlin thing was more weird than like a complete negative. Like we all obviously knew that this was going to be like a new character, but even like the music, like Barry walking in and seeing her and stuff like that, it sounded more sinister than like what she actually was giving, because she was just like so pleasant. She's like, oh, hello Barry, thank you for coming, and it just sounded like something was about to happen. Nothing did. And I do feel like Tati was saying about the whole Caitlin storyline, because it's like you spent 8 seasons with this character, now she's presumably dead, and it's just weird because, you know, the storyline didn't get to say goodbye to her, none of her friends did, and it's just like she's been left to her own devices and so consumed with bringing Frost back that this outcome doesn't really feel like it was even earned or as interesting, because it's like we're gonna spend the rest of the season getting to know this entirely new character, and I don't have time to do that. I want to spend time with the characters that have already been like established on the show. And I think that for Caitlin specifically, like I'm not that invested in her, but like just as a character, the fact that she didn't really get that growth before, you know, signing off is just really
bizarre. Signing off.
Yeah. What else? I think it was like the main thing. Everything else was like great, but I feel like with the Joe, I guess that will go into prediction. So that is all for me. What did our podcast friends have to say about the episode?
That's an excellent question. What did they have to say about the episode? Okay. We have feedback from, oh, that's right, KJ. KJ sent us feedback and demanded that it be read on this podcast. Hello, LWG. Long time no email. I've seen the final season premiere of The Flash, and I have the thoughts. I've only seen a handful of episodes from the last few seasons. Oh, bless your heart. I wish that that could be me. So I was very confused on certain things. Allegra has powers? Wow. You really are out of the loop.
Welcome back, KJ.
Yeah. Seal is telekinetic in addition to being an empath? When did things happen and why? As for the actual episode, it wasn't the greatest episode, but it was very enjoyable, carried by Grant and Candace and their chemistry. We saw the love and support they have for each other and their excitement for the advancement of their careers. By the way, when did Iris and Sue become friends? Did I miss that from last year? Yes,
that
you did.
That you did miss from last year.
That was like the only redeemable thing about last year. So yeah. Now you're caught up.
Again, otherwise, it's like you throw away. It's fine.
Yeah. I understand Barry being scared of losing Iris, but I'm with her in that you shouldn't let what supposedly happens influence your decisions. It's similar to her reaction to the newspaper from 2024 and how that drove her back to Eddie. Interesting. Interesting thought. Joe's decision to leave Central City is a logical one with all the dangerous things that happen there. Not a safe place for MIA Jenna. But we all know that Jenna's not in Central City. Jenna is at a boarding school. She's at Eton or something. She's totally fine. I just read that. As for not Caitlin and Chester Allegra, I couldn't care less. Overall, it was a solid start. One that I'm sure will decline in quality with the rest of the season. Also, I wish the show would bring back Linda Park. Me too. Me too.
Oh, I just thought of another thing that annoyed me, like a minor annoyance that should go in my no joys. When Iris like first went into work and Allegra was like, I had the pleasure of taking a meeting with Cat Grant about the future of your company.
Oh,
I was like,
yes.
I agree.
Like, who gave you the right?
Like, who gave you the right to have like merger acquisition meetings?
Yeah, that was definitely not. No, there's no way. It would have been like, Cat Grant wants to have a meeting with you. Like, that's it.
Yeah, like, if Cat Grant, like, walked into a meeting and Allegra was there and not Iris, I feel like Cat Grant would leave.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, I think that she would, too. And it's really funny, too, because, like, Allegra is now, she was promoted, I think, last season. Mm-hmm. But as soon as she talks to Iris about the Cat Grant stuff, she's at Star Lab. I'm like, this is not your full-time job. I think you need to go back.
All right, Anita. A notification. present. I missed you all during what felt like a crazy long hiatus. Yes. What are we, a Netflix show? The opening episode for Flash Season 9 did not disappoint. Iris looked great. Her arms are giving Barry's a run for his money. We love a boxing, rifle-toting, millennial media supermom. The Groundhog Day theme wasn't unexpected, because when it comes to writing about Barry's development, inevitably, time manipulation comes into the conversation. Really, Barry? You haven't learned to finesse your passions and inside knowledge when slinging time stream information to your wife, friends, etc.? How did Joe take it when Barry casually dropped the life-changing bomb that in 2 short months he and Iris would take over the West family home? That's true. Wouldn't that just mean, like, that's why Joe's leaving? Like, oh, I guess I need to leave him at my house, and I don't want to die, so let's go. Maybe that's literally why he's leaving. He's like, oh. I'm out of there one way or another.
I make room.
Exactly. Like, CCC Media looked fresh and buzzing, like an up-and-coming media superpower, and I love it. I would have loved to see how Allegra and Taylor worked out their brewing blood feud. Wow, that is very sweet of you to have wanted to see that.
Did you miss last season, too? Yeah. That was in one episode last season.
Trying to get a room together, and that's it. She was like, I'm friends with the Flash. And Taylor's like, I'm friends with you now. The end. Anyway. So it sure is. Where is Central City in their meta acceptance? It sure isn't through Cecile's tireless legal work.
Right.
Once again, it's Iris's work dispelling ignorance and making things happen. Just give the woman the keys to the city. Oh. I liked how Iris took the call from Sue Dearborn, whatever how you're saying your name, down by the harbor.
I remember what's his face like correcting me in the middle of an interview. It's Dearborn. I was like, okay.
Iris is the audience's connection to Central City, and it's because of her insistence on a different approach to problem solving that we also found out they have a really nice pool club. I thought they had gotten out of town for that, but was there a mention? No.
I don't think so.
Yeah. Someone please stop abusing Barry through his wardrobe. He is the hero of his being a handsome man.
He didn't like his tucked-in shirt.
When it comes to creepy reveals, the show has got it down. Quiet, dead air, an unsettling placid figure, and the ghost energy Eddie, and now Caitlin Fox. If someone tells me that being in a lab accident would have been the very thing that defined Caitlin, I wouldn't have put a speck of energy to trying to understand that character. As it stands, the new her doesn't exist for these last dozen episodes. West Allen has a course to run, and they shot right off on the starting block. Caitlin would have just slowed them down. So yes, I agree. I agree that there is no place for the Caitlin storyline in this episode. I just wish that we didn't even have that one scene. It was unnecessary. We could have just started next episode with that scene.
Yeah.
But I guess we needed it to introduce next episode. Yeah. Anyway, Suara feedback. Hello, ladies. Hello, Suara. This was a fantastic return to what will blissfully be a shortened final season. Okay. I'm very glad Eric said there will be more Barry and Iris together this season is what we all deserve. I love Iris calling Barry out for not being patient in experiencing their lives together and using the MacBook. I definitely thought that read MacBook, and I was like, oh no, don't use a MacBook. Anyway, the MacBook for an ultimately artificial sense of certainty. It was a great nuanced conflict that I wish we had more of between them, but I'm so glad we have it now. Of course, we have the rest of the Motley crew. Cecile's going on Anakin Skywalker to Attack of the Clones to become the most powerful meta ever. Another potential reason for why Joe wants to get out of town. Be like, well, we need to stop leveling up your powers. I think that we're done with that. I guess it's something we must deal with, along with Jesse's exit from the show, in which it seems that he will leave, maybe with the invisible team, with the invisible Jenna, and Cecile will remain with Team Flash, because she's just that needed. Hopefully it'll be at least somewhat entertaining. I have no idea who Panabaker is playing, and I couldn't care less. That makes four of us. But speaking of the leaving Cecile behind, did he even mention Jenna in the speech about wanting to leave? Like, I thought she wasn't even... So it's like, why does he want to leave? He's just very concerned for his life. Like, I know he says our family, but, like, that obviously includes her. And she obviously doesn't want to leave. So I'm like, who are you doing this for, Joe?
It's also interesting, too, because it's like, if we consider the fact that Iris is going to be pregnant soon, don't you want to be around for your grandchild?
Hey, like, I don't know. Everything about this, I don't know. To me, it doesn't make sense. That's fine. Okay. Yeah. All right, Sonia. Hi. Hey, ladies. It's been a while since I've emailed you guys. I think my last email was when I resent Stargirl feedback. Yeah. Well, it's also been a while since we did anything DCTV related, right? Stargirl was it. We need a dime. Do you have a dime? Why would I need to walk around with a dime? That made me feel so old. That's true. Now when I have change, I'm like, why do I have this? What is
its purpose? It's always dumped in my car somewhere. I'm like, oh, this is just useless.
Yeah. Rick being so mean. What? This is old. That's why.
Skip
just
down.
Pretend I didn't say. Sonia, does she? Oh, I see. Okay.
Did I not post this on Tumblr? I'll have to look.
You probably did. Okay, you probably did. So that is on Tumblr. And now we will get to the flash part of the feedback. Okay, reading is fundamental. Now on to my flash feedback. I love time loop episodes, and they are some of my favorite types of episodes. Yes, I think everyone... Who doesn't love a time loop? Who does not love a time loop? The Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. one is one of my favorites, and this episode was no exception. The scene at the start was interesting because the way the finale ended with Caitlin, I wasn't sure if Frost was back, so I didn't realize it was a dream sequence. True. They did do a good job with that. I especially love Barry cradling Iris's body. West Allen fans are literally touch-starved. Barry and Iris waking up in bed together was amazing, and the fact that the time loop restarts with them waking up was even better. They had really good physical contact that wasn't interrupted by the team for the majority of the episode.
Mm-hmm.
It was nice to see Iris using a bonnet. Finally, they acknowledge the fact that she's black. It was nice to see CCC media, but I didn't like that they didn't explain all the stuff that happened to Iris right away. Why is she only just finding out about the hostage situation? Why does she just know now that Allegra had to reveal her meta abilities? Like, what? That's true. It's like for 2 weeks, they literally were like, no phone contact. No one tell me anything. Maybe... When Barry gets back to Star Labs to tell people about Caitlin, I'm like, yeah, we know. You just were not here. The rest of us were here. You were not here, though. Anyway. Nice to see John Murphy from the 100 as the new Captain Boomerang. I love Richard Harmon as an actor. I hope we see him more in the coming episodes. The future book thing is crazy. How does Barry know random things about Nora chipping a tooth or Bart's first words? It's true. How did he learn that? I agree completely with Iris. What's the point of living your life if you know every single thing that's going to happen? You might as well just sit back and let the future happen to you. I get that Barry wants Iris and Nora and Bart and whatnot, but the future doesn't have to happen exactly the way he expects it for it to be a fulfilling life.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad they worked it out in the end. I don't care about the solar powers, so lots of that, please. Poor Joe feeling inadequate and wanting to leave. I knew this was coming, but I'm going to miss Jesse as a series regular. The Allegra and Chester kiss that absolutely no one cares about. Yes. Yay? Question mark. Loved seeing Iris show up with a gun and subduing Captain Boomerang and seeing Barry basically phase through a nuclear attack. The ending with Caitlin, I could care about even less than I do Cecile's powers.
There's a running theme.
Yes! Yes! One track mind. Hoping for a lot more Wes Allen moments in the episodes to come. Yay! Thank you for all the feedback, friends.
Beautiful. Do we have any predictions going into the rest of the season?
Well, I mean, I don't know if it's the prediction so much as, like, I hope that the Red Death storyline is kind of like a parallel to... I feel like it's not going to be. I feel like they've already said it's really not. But I really want the Red Death storyline to be like the storyline from the comics for Batman's Red Death, where it's like, I have a, you know, like, this specific vengeance point against the Flash in another universe, and then maybe since the mergings or whatever, you know, like, I don't even know what the status is of the multiverse right now. Are we all on one Earth or not? I feel like
primarily, yeah,
but is there like a, I don't know,
I feel like they mentioned that there are still other Earths, obviously, like,
yeah,
Star Girl and Titans, but
okay, that's right.
Earth Prime doesn't know that they exist anymore.
Okay, that's what it is. That's what it is. Right. So yeah, it's like they think that Harry and Jesse are dead, but Harry and Jesse pretend to still be alive because they don't know which Earth. So. Okay. So like that's how I want them to find out about the other Earths, because Red Death has a specific grudge against the Flash on her Earth, and then it somehow got to this Earth. So there you go. That's not, I don't know if that's a prediction or not, because I feel like it's not going to happen, but let me just manifest it.
I feel like it could, because, like, the other thing we know, that now we know, like, Rick Cosnett is coming back and Matt Lesher is coming back. That is OG Reverse Flash. And then Rick is, like, the unrealized dream of us seeing, like, Cobalt Blue. And so, you know, the other times he's come back as apparitions or in, like, a dream or something like that. And it feels maybe that if he does come back as not one of those things, then he has to come from somewhere. And the Red Death storyline could open up the fact that there are other worlds for other speedsters to come through. And then that could be how we get Eddie back. And it would be really cool to see Eddie and Eobard work together or team up together. Because maybe, like, I feel if you have both of them back, they probably have something to do with each other. So that would be really cool to see. I don't know. Do you want to guess which alter ego that Danielle is playing now?
I feel like Crystal Frost is just, like, the best name.
The more,
like,
obvious
Louise
one,
Lincoln.
Yeah.
Yeah, Louise Lincoln is a stupid name. I mean, it's not stupid. I'm so well, sorry to anyone named Louise Lincoln.
Like, Crystal Frost is Frost adjacent, so it would be easier to make that connection to the whole new person, where it's like, where did you even come up with that name from?
So. Yeah, exactly. So if they just call her Crystal, then that would make sense, right? Like, so I don't know, maybe. But do we have any predictions for, like, what the purpose is?
I don't know. I read somewhere that, like, if she was going to be connected to one of the villains at some point, maybe. But don't quote me on that. I don't really remember, because I feel like I just zoned that paragraph out and I just...
Crystal hooks up with Captain Boomerang. And then Mark is like, so who am I even dating now?
I feel like this character hooks up with the villain. It's just like, you don't even, like, why even continue to write her in the show? Because you obviously don't care.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. I think my only prediction is because Barry said that Iris's first Pulitzer is going to be one after her writing something about red skies or whatever, which was a part of the original newspaper in 2024. And I feel like if Red Death is from another Earth, then we could sort of have that storyline back in the game here, but in, like, a different way.
I like it. Eric did say that they did look very closely at season one to tie things up and, you know, make it full circle, so... Fingers crossed.
Well, then I'm happy to see how it goes, and hope has shakily been restored. We'll see where it goes. Am I going to even ask about the lady with gumption? We know who it is.
Yeah. Yeah, it's Allegra, of course, for having the gumption to take that meeting with Cat Grant. And then,
yeah, and then to, like, kiss Chester and then be like, you know what? Never mind.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, yes, it is Iris.
Yes, absolutely. Had the gumption.
I don't know,
to...
like, you know, Cecile had a lot of gumption to put that ball through the tire. She destroyed a lot of flash equipment, by the way. And
she did. She did. I think that's something they can do outside.
The greatest meta. But yes, so Iris really held her own. She figured out the time loop. She stopped Captain Boomerang. She, you know, told Barry exactly about himself and the state of their marriage. So.
Yes, 100%. So congratulations to Iris. It's a great way to kick off season 9 of The Flash. We will be back next week to discuss episode 2. So if you do have any more feedback, send them to ladywgumption@gmail.com. And we will be back to also talk more on our Patreon about you and The Last of Us at some point in the future soon. So until next time, fellow friends, please take care of yourselves, and we will... he will hear us next time. Bye, everybody.
Bye.